I couldn't help but think a moment ago as they were singing that old country church song. My maternal grandmother died in 1989, and I went to Arkansas to bury her. Little country church, wasn't a seat. In fact, there was standing room only. It was just a huge crowd that came out for that. Several of my cousins told me that day, "Larry, when my time comes, I want you to come and preach my funeral." Well, I said, we'll see how that the Lord works that out. And sure enough, I've buried a couple of them in the last couple of years. And as I think about an old country church and what that means to us, I've been blessed already for having been here. So thank you very much for singing that. How many of you brought your Bibles to the house of God this morning? Wave it in the old devil's face and let him see that we mean business this morning. If you have your Bible in hand, please turn with me to Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16. I've learned in life that you have to be careful when you ask someone a question when you already have in your mind what the answer is going to be when he answers. Some years ago, I asked a fellow that I know is a Bible believer, a student of the Scripture, one that loves Jesus, and I asked him this question. I said, "Brother, this would be, in my opinion, a great day for the Lord to come back. What do you think?" And he said, "What do I think?" He said, "No." And it sort of squelched my thoughts about what sort of theology is he holding, that he doesn't have room there for Jesus to come back. Folks, I don't know of anything that has to happen that would keep Jesus from coming back for his people. He's going to come swooping down faster than Doppler radar can catch. And he's going to snatch up his family and away we go to be with him forever. And I'm yearning for that day. I know that some of you are as well. So as I look in the Scriptures and think about this being a great day to meet our bridegroom, if he comes today, I'm all for it. I bet you are too. Hope that you are anyway. In May of 2004, Bobby and I went to my sister's home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for a family reunion. We hadn't had one in a long time. And we all gathered there at their place. They've got a beautiful place out in the country, lots of room for the kids to run and play in. My brother-in-law had got a couple of those bouncy deals that you, a tent-like thing that you get in and bounce. And so the kids had a big time. Took lots of pictures, ate lots of food. And one of the pictures that I took, I used a tripod so that I could get in it and took a bunch of different poses of all four. There were 42 of us, and I took a bunch of pictures in hopes that I'd get at least one that somebody didn't have their eyes closed or had a goofy expression or something. And when I examined them, I found one of those pictures that I took that 41 of us looked good. The only person who didn't was baby Zane, who at that time was 9 months old, and she was turned around looking at somebody else back there. But all the rest of us were looking right at the camera, and so we distributed some copies of that one and wrote our names on the border around the picture. And I've looked at mine many times in the last 10 years. That was in May of 2004. And I've looked at it in a different light in the last couple of months because seven of those are no longer with us, seven of the 42. The question that I ask myself is, which one of us is going to be next, because I'm in that group? Could be me that goes next. I don't know that. I don't have that assurance or that knowledge when my time will come, but my time is coming. I recognize that. Your time is coming. Who will be next? Several years ago, I was doing a study in the Scriptures on human longevity. How long could a person expect to live, all things being equal? And I wanted to know from a scriptural standpoint, because I had recently had some life insurance updated, and the insurance agent laid out some actuarial tables on the kitchen table there where we were seated, and he showed me and demonstrated to me that not many people die after the age of 96. I mean, really. Not many people die after the age of 96. And so I looked there and I could mentally calculate from looking at those figures about how much time I might have left. You might be able to look at such a chart and wonder, how much time do you have left? So we don't know when our death is coming, but we know it's coming. We don't know when, but we know that it's coming. So look with me, if you would, in Job chapter 16, at verse 22. Sorry, I got turned to a different place there somehow. The last phrase, the last verse in the chapter, Job 16:22, says, "When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return." Would you bow with me as we pray? Thank you, dear Lord, for the songs that we've sung this morning. Thank you for the opportunities we've had to hug each other's neck and shake hands and to demonstrate that it's because of you and your love, your grace, your kindness that we're here today in a desire to make our lives count for you. We pray for those that were unable to come, those that are out of town, those that are ill, whatever it is that has kept them away. We ask your blessing upon them and that they'd come back next time. For those of us that are here, we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear and be quick to take the truth that you deliver through your word, and that we might embrace it in a new and fresh event, that we might leave today encouraged and happy that we've been in the house of the Lord. Thank you for this text that we're going to examine here in a moment. We invite you, dear Holy Spirit, to be our teacher. And if there's anyone here that does not know you, has not trusted you, has not clung to you in faith, that person would do so today. Thank you again for all you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we know that death is coming, but when will it come? We've had several funerals in our church recently. The most recent, of course, last Thursday night as we gathered here to say our final goodbye to Brother Ken Lissenby. How much we loved him, how much we're missing him this morning. It's not going to be the same going by the round table out there without seeing Ken sitting there and participating in the discussions, or seeing him in the hallways and other places that he served the Lord the years that he was here. I'm missing him personally, and I know that many of you are as well. I don't have anything new to offer you about the concept of death, because there's nothing novel about it. There's nothing uncommon about death. It's been with us for thousands of years, ever since Abel was slain, all the way up to the present time. We're not surprised by death. Sometimes we're surprised by how it comes, the means and the timing, but we know that it's coming. One day it's coming for you and one day for me. But all the way through the whole sweep of human history, death has honeycombed the earth with graves. And we can ride along and look at what people have written about those that are departed. One of the fond memories that I have of my dad, in fact, one of the last times that we did anything together, was we went to a little cemetery up there in Holly Grove, Arkansas, where a lot of my ancestors are buried. And Dad enjoyed just a couple of hours there of just me and him walking around through that cemetery. Oh, yeah, here's your cousin so-and-so. And he would tell me about where this one lived, what he knew about that one. This one was in the Civil War, and different things about that I would never have known except being educated, and he enjoyed educating me. And I've wondered about some of those that he pointed out to me, their names, the derivation of the nationality they came from, and so forth. But the time is coming for every one of us, as Job says, "When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return." So let me say four things quickly about this text. First of all, I want to talk about the certainty of our journey. Someone asked me in the hallway out there, "Preacher, what's your title today? What's the theme you're going to speak on?" And I said, "I'm going to speak on the theme of our final journey, because all of us are going to take one. Our final journey." The first point I want to make is the certainty of our journey. Notice in this verse, in verse 22, those three words, "I shall go." That's you. That's me. The certainty of our journey. We recognize our mortality. The scripture tells us in another place that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We all have an appointment with death, and I can assure you today that none of us will be late for our appointment. None of us will be late for our appointment. God will see to that. And we know that death is coming. We know that we're mortal. Our mortality tells us that we'll be swept up in death. Except for that one generation. I started off by asking, do you think this would be a good day to meet our blessed Redeemer? There's going to be a generation in which He comes, and that generation will not experience death, but just to be caught up with Him. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Even the oldest, even the most aged person in our midst hopes for more time on this earth. Those that are ill, those that are gravely ill, close to death, even in that condition, they hope that somehow the doctors can get together and come up with a plan, introduce some new kind of medication or whatever is available, that they might be restored and continuance of their life might go on. And sometimes that happens. I have an uncle. He's dead now, but my goodness, I don't know how many times he was at death's door. At least a half a dozen times that I know of, that he was so close. We went up there one time in Arkansas, and they wouldn't even let us in to see him. They just called all the family in, but he perked up and lived several years after that. So we don't know when our time is coming, but we know that it is. Notice the pronoun I. It's one thing for someone else to die. It's something else when you're the one. I shall go the way whence I shall not return. The hearse may already be rolling toward your door, and one day it will find its way there to take you away, prepare you for your stepping out into eternity. You might have heard of the humorous story about the Carlisle brothers, Eugene and Tom. Tom died, and Eugene went to the preacher that was going to do the service. And he said, "Brother Pastor, I would really appreciate it if in your comments at the funeral, if you could say that my brother Tom was a saint, I'd really appreciate it." And the preacher said, "Well, I couldn't do that. Everybody knows what kind of a scoundrel he was, the town drunk, led such a corrupt life out in the open. I couldn't say that he's a saint by any means." He said, "Well, it means so much to me if you'd call him a saint, I'll give you $500. Well, all the Baptist preachers I know, when they would hear that, their ears would stand straight up. For $500, I'll consider it. And so when the funeral came, the time came, and the preacher was making his comments, he said, "Now, everyone knows how the deceased here, Tom Carlisle, led a wicked life, cheated on his wife, was guilty of theft in the community, did all kinds of evil and ugly things. But compared to his brother Eugene over here, he was really a saint." And sometimes we wonder when the preacher stands there and makes comments about us, what is it that someone would say about us that would be meaningful? You know, I've thought this week that when death comes, the financial element of a person's life becomes contemptible, and the spiritual aspect of his life becomes highly esteemed. And what I mean by that is this: if a man like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Hugo Chavez, that just have tons of money, if you ask them when they die, "Well, how much help did you get from all that wealth?" The same answer is going to be true of each one of them, isn't it? Not going to be of any help at all. I'm leaving it all behind. It'll all stay here. So we might ask ourselves, who am I trusting in this morning? I know that my time is coming. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. But what about me? Who am I trusting in? What am I trusting in? this morning as I think about what's ahead. I feel it incumbent for me to ask you today, are you ready to, if your day is today, if this is your last day, are you ready? Have you made preparation in Christ and trusted Him, clinging to Him through faith? He says that no one who comes to me will I in any wise cast out. Anyone that will come, whosoever will, let him come. And if you've been one of those that has come, you don't need to be afraid that he might say, well, oh, wait a minute now, I didn't know you did all that stuff. Sure, he knew it, and he was still willing to forgive you and cleanse you, make you whole through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's decision time. Every time we come through these doors and have our place here in this sanctuary, if the preacher's worth his salt, he's going to throw out the net and try to draw someone in if there's someone there that's not saved. And I ask again, are you ready today? Is this, if this were your time, your final day, are you ready? The devil, of course, will be quick to whisper in your ear, oh, you've got plenty of time. That preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. You've got plenty of time. You can sow your wild oats. You can live like you want to, and then at the end, you can make it right. Well, someone might be able to do that, but most of us wouldn't. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. So first of all, the certainty of our journey. The second thing I want to say is the meaning of our journey. The meaning of our journey, and that is that death is a part of life. Death is a part of life. We're not exempt from it. We're not going to escape it unless the Lord Jesus comes and takes us home first. We look at others and we think of the lifestyle that others live and we wonder about their eternity, but what about our own? We have a tendency when we're young to think that, oh yeah, I know that one day I'm going to die, but that's some nebulous commodity that's way out there somewhere. I don't need to worry about that now. I mean, I've got all this living to do over here and one day I'm going to get right. And I've taught my three kids, if I were to ask them, you know, when you put something in the term of one of these days, what you're really saying is none of these days. If you'll say one of these days, preacher, I'm going to surprise you and I'm going to make my life count for God. One of these days I'm going to. No, none of these days is what you really mean. Because the devil will always be quick to slip in there and tempt you to put it off. Oh, you've got plenty of time. Got plenty of time. But the older we get, we look back and we see, say from midlife, we look back at the years we've already lived and the years that we anticipate living, and there's not as much length there anymore like there used to be way back there. Wow, where did all those years get away to? And then we look and see that not many are ahead for us, especially those of us that are septuagenarians and beyond. So what about you today? Have you made preparation in Christ for the day when your death occurs? For some of us, the odds are good that our lease is about to run out. For some of us, the odds are good that our lease on life, if you will, is about to run out. Notice that the text says a few years. Read that a little differently. Read it as this. When a few months are come, then I shall go the way I shall not return. Read it like this. When a few weeks are come, when a few days, when a few hours, when a few minutes are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. The time? Well, we don't know the time. We simply don't know. But we do know this, if we're going to do any work for Jesus, now's the time to do it. If we're going to work for Him, if we're going to get any projects done for Him, then now's the time to plunge in headlong and get with it. Because the day will come when we'll no longer work and our reward will be just ahead. Some people die prepared to meet their Maker. I'm happy to report this morning, not in a braggadocio sense or with no false sense of security, but I've made preparation. If I topple off this platform and fall dead to the ground, I'm ready to go. There's nothing I'd like better than to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I've talked to people about death and they cringe at the thought of even thinking about it, but I'm not saying that I would like to die, but when my time comes, I'm ready to go. I'm not gonna think that God messed up if I were to die today. I'm ready to go. And our brother Ken Lissenby had made that same kind of commitment. He was ready to go, anxious to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus, anxious to cast his crown at the feet of the Lord and to thank him and praise him for all eternity. I was asked one time to go to a graveside service. We lived over in the Houston area. I don't know where these folks got my name. Maybe picked me out of the phone book. I have no idea. But counting me and the deceased, there were 7 of us. And I thought, what a sad thing that here's someone that is hardly even going to be missed. Where are his friends? Where are his family members that actually care about his eternity? Where are they today? He was a man in his mid-years, I'd say 40 or so. But see, the thing is, death has no favorite age. Death has no favorite age. When we lived in Rock Springs, there was a precious little family there that had had several miscarriages. And when I first came there to be the pastor, she was pregnant. And the last month of her pregnancy, she moved to Kerrville, took a room in a motel right across the street from Sid Peterson Hospital so that when the moment came, she could dash across there and have the baby. And of all things, that baby was born with the cord around its neck and strangled. Folks, I want you to know that little community was ripped apart. We all wept till there was no more weeping to be done. And I buried that little thing out there in the Rock Springs Cemetery. And that thought occurred to me that day, that death has no favorite age. From the youngest to the oldest, death is always there. Some are prepared to die, I said. Some are not. So I ask you today, are you prepared to die? The third thing I want to say is the finality of our journey. The finality of our journey. There's a saying I've heard, you've heard it, and it's true. We only go around once. We only go around once. Once we go around and we leave this life, then we won't be coming back to the things that we've seen and experienced in this life. There are lots of pleasurable things, pleasant things that we experience in this life that we enjoy. But once we leave here, we're not going to come back to those things. The pleasures of life. Oh, I tell you, I can't express how I was so moved by that song that was played Thursday night at Ken's celebration service. That song, All My Tears. It don't matter where they bury me. I'll be home and I'll be free. What an awesome thought. It don't matter. I know I would say doesn't if I had written it, but the song says don't. It don't matter where they bury me. And it doesn't. It doesn't matter. The pleasures of life, the obligations to our family, all of those things will be history. We'll not come back to repeat them. We gather around the communion table at times here in the church and we rejoice to think that Christ shed his blood, gave his body broken for us, and we know the value and the benefit of that. And once we leave this life, though, we won't come back for that. Kneeling here at the altar, nearly every Sunday somebody comes and talks to the Lord here. There's nothing magical or nothing mystical about this. We just like to get alone with God and talk with him. But one day it'll be over. It'll be done. We won't return to this life again. But, and that's a big but do we really want to come back once we've gone? I don't think I'm going to want to come back. I don't believe Brother Ken is anxious to come back. Not now that he's experienced the things he's experiencing and seeing and hearing and rejoicing in the things that he's rejoicing in. If we could ask him, I think he'd answer, no, I'm happy where I am. I miss you, but I don't believe I want to come back. And I can say the same thing. I don't want to come back once I've left here. I guess in a way we might wish we could come back. How many of us have half-finished projects that we've started on and they're gathering dust over in the closet? Most of us would like to have a do-over, if you will, and take another shot at it and get it right this time. But basically, once we leave this life, that's it. What thou doest, do quickly. When a few more years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The fourth thing I'll say is the destination of our journey. The destination of our journey. I bought, I guess it's been 2 years ago, maybe two and a half, maybe even three, something like that. Two funeral plots up there in the hill country near Medina, Texas. Medina was my first church after I finished seminary in Fort Worth. And we loved it there. The parsonage that we lived in was just 100 feet from the Medina River, real close to the river. Our kids loved to go down there and wade and play in it. And we had our baptisms there. I baptized quite a few people there in that river. And we loved it. It was a wonderful place. And so now that I'm retired, and even before I retired, I began to think, where do I want to be planted? Where do I want my earthly remains to be? And Tracy and I took a drive up to Medina. Bobby was working, and I bought two funeral plots up there in a little cemetery called West Prong Cemetery. And these two plots are under a huge oak tree right on the top of a hill. I mean, I realize that people are not all that concerned about the aesthetic value and the aesthetic beauty of where we're going to rest forever as far as our earthly remains are, but it's a wonderful place. I stood there and looked at that place, and I felt such peace and solitude and serenity and tranquility and all those other kinds of words that could be used to describe that. And I told the fellow that was with us, yeah, I want these two right here. So when my time comes, whenever it comes, I've got a place there that my body will be. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In 1976, when I graduated from seminary, we went to Medina, made lots of friends there, and strangely, through the means of Facebook, some of you are on Facebook, I've reconnected with a lot of those folks that I hadn't even thought of in 30 years or more. It's been a good time for me. I've really enjoyed that, to think about our time there, the people that we enjoyed. So my closing comment is this, that when I read this verse, when a few years are come, then shall I go the way whence I shall not return. I'm reminded that there is no changing of destiny below the ground. Once I'm put out there in the casket and I'm put in the ground, there's no changing of destiny then. It'll be too late for someone to think, oh, but I went to church, I attended this, I gave to the Lottie Moon Armstrong and offering and all of those things that I did, but it's too late then. It's too late. When a few years are come, read that again, when a few months, a few weeks, a few days, a few hours, a few minutes are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. I suspect that multitudes of people have died and gone to their, been carried out to their burial And those people had heard the word over and over and knew what it meant to be saved, knew what it meant to be cleansed from sin, but never had done so. And it's too late. It's all over but the shouting. Too late. So I ask you in closing, are you ready today? Job said just a few more years, but it might be just a few more months or a few more weeks, a few more days. What if it were today? Have you made that decision for Christ? We're going to sing an invitation hymn here in a moment, and you'll have an opportunity to come. If you'd like to bow here at the altar and do business with the one that loves you most, please do that. If you need to talk to me about your soul, about your salvation, I'd be happy to talk to you. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, dear Lord, for loving us like you do. Thank you for the kindness, the great expressions of love, and thank you that you're even interested in such as us. Thank you that you're even now preparing a place for those that love you. And as we've thought about this morning of those that have already passed from this life, on to the joys and the excitement of heaven and glory, thinking about our final journey, my final journey. Oh, it's just exciting to think that one day we'll be free from the very presence of sin. Nothing but holiness and righteousness that we can rejoice in forever and forever and forever. You know what you want to do this morning in this invitation. If there's somebody that needs to be saved, Lord, help that person to step out in boldness and say, yes, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. I want to be redeemed. And I've come to be so. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.